Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for inviting us to share with you God's word and also about what God has been doing and is continuing to do through OM in different parts of the world. My hope is that at the end of this morning, you will be challenged and excited and encouraged about God's faithfulness and goodness to us. And also at the same time, you'll be challenged to do something about God's word, to go beyond what you would normally would be willing to do in order that others may also come to have that knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, when I look at this passage of scripture of Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, the fierce storm that they met, mind you, there were seasoned fishermen in the boat, and yet they were still afraid. And then also of the healing of the demoniac. I'm actually struck by the fact that these different sections of this passage of scripture work together like a sandwich. Just like any sandwich, if you just eat the bread, it is not very satisfying. If you just take the filling alone, your stomach would not be full. You've got to have them all together in order to enjoy the sandwich. See, my point is this. Mark, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has arranged his materials into a coherent passage to help the church understand this. Following Jesus means going where Jesus would want to lead you to. Following Jesus means going where Jesus would want us to go. Sometimes that going may be distressing and uncomfortable, but it will always result in a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. Note first of all that it is Jesus who initiates the going. In verse 35, he says to his disciples, chapter 4, verse 35, he says, "Let us go over to the other side. Let us go across to the other side." I'm excited to hear that as a church, you are listening carefully to what God would want you to do in order to reach out to the people in this patch of the world that you are living in. It reminds me of a group of Christians who did the same thing. They wanted to see their community come to Christ. They wanted people in their world, where they are, to hear about the love of God, to hear about Jesus. So they waited. They were not sure what to do. They just have this desire to follow Jesus. So they waited and listened to what Jesus was asking them to do. And the message came to them. It was clear. It was also disconcerting. Somehow, what they heard was this: go to the neighborhood pub and start a church there. Wow, that's strange. Start a church in a neighborhood pub? But that was what they heard, and they listened, and they did that. Now, because they listened to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, they were able to make contact with non-Christians who would otherwise never darken the doorstep of the church. And because they did that, people who would never come to the church heard the good news that God loves them unconditionally, that God loves them the way they are, and would want to give them the offer of life in Jesus Christ. It wasn't easy for this band of Christ followers, because it meant leaving the familiar and going to something that they were uncomfortable with. It meant leaving the comfy Christian fellowship that they were in and risking ridicule and rejection. But they did that. But what they did wasn't new, because they were actually following a pattern that is being described here in Mark's Gospel. See, Jesus led his disciples, first of all, across a geographical barrier, across the lake. But there, Jesus also led them across another barrier, a cultural one. The disciples were Jewish. The people of Gerasenes, they were not Jewish. The disciples were brought up never to have anything to do with pigs. Now the people of Gerasenes love their pork chops. So they had, you see, but you see, I'm convinced, you know, that it was a simple but important lesson that Jesus taught his disciples. If you want people to experience the transforming power of Jesus Christ, you have to go to the people and make the contact. If you want to see people discover who Jesus is, how he can bring purpose and meaning to their existence, we need to go to them and not wait for them to come to us. Listen to what David Barrett said about mission in 1991. He says this: mission is all about Christians being in contact with non-Christians. If there is no such contact, there is no mission going on. Imagine our world, our globe, divided into three parts. Mala, if you could do that, please. Yeah. Our globe divided into three parts as to how much mission contact exists. World C would consist of all those who would individually call themselves Christian. Worlds B and A cover all who identify themselves as other than Christian. World B stands for non-Christians who are in contact with Christians and who have at least some knowledge of Christ and the gospel. World A stands for non-Christians who have never come in contact with Christians and have no knowledge of Christ and the gospel. Christians are sufficiently in contact with World B for us to describe that 2.3 billion inhabitants are aware of Christ and however. But listen to this. World A, which in 1991 was about 1.2 billion people, remains untouched by Christian missionaries, remain untouched by mission agencies, remain untouched by the world's 2.6 million local churches. And that number has grown to 2 billion people who have no access to the gospel of Christ. He concluded by saying this: a fundamental flaw in the way we are involved in Christian missions is that most mission agencies are not strategically thinking about the World A. Thanks. My friend Justin was challenged by statistics such as this, and answering God's call, he went, going to a people whose language and culture was totally different from him, from his. Justin is English, but the last 3 years he has spent most of his time with Arabs, first in Lebanon, then in Jordan, and now he's in Iraq with Operation Mercy. Operation Mercy is that part of OM that is involved in international relief aid and work. Last Saturday, he wrote an email asking for prayer. This is what he said. By the way, if you need a mental picture of Justin, just think of Hugh Grant. Some of his friends tell him that he looked like him and sound like him. Okay, so yeah. So imagine Justin in the sound alike Hugh Grant voice saying this. I can't do Hugh Grant, but this is what he said. Hi all, just to say that it is 9 p.m. and we are leaving at 3 a.m. tomorrow for Iraq. It has again been a very busy few days preparing for this next trip, but I'm looking forward to it. Today we received 20 tons worth of school stuff, which is being driven down to South Iraq where we will meet it tomorrow. Then we have to distribute it to 100,000 students. So we have our work cut out, especially as we are yet to find places to stay, a safe place to store the stuff, and people to help us. pray for an effective week, and again that we are protected on the long drive there and back. We'll be there for about a week. Thanks, Justin. I can sense the excitement in Justin's email to me, because he has been waiting for a while, ever since the war. Even before the war began, they were thinking, they knew that probably the war would start. And they were wondering how they could involve Operation Mercy in helping the Iraqi people once it was safe for them to go in. So he had been waiting for a while, and Justin was excited about being there. But the going has not always been easy for Justin. There have been difficult times, none more so than when Bonnie Witterer was shot last October. Who's Bonnie? Bonnie was also an OM missionary in Lebanon. On that fateful day of the shooting, Bonnie was walking, making her way to the maternity health clinic, where as a nurse, she would help the woman who comes there. While making her way there, a man stopped her, took out a gun, and shot her in the head. Let be in no doubt about this. Going where Jesus wants us to go can be costly. It cost Bonnie her life. It cost Gary, his wife. It will cost us something. I do not know what. It will be different for each one of us. But the word of God is very clear. He says, anyone who would want to live godly lives for Christ will suffer. And the world will not understand the sort of sacrifice that Bonnie went through and will shout, what a waste of life. But Bonnie and Gary knew that by going and staying in that part of Lebanon, they were laying their lives before God. They knew that there might be that risk of losing their lives. But they were reminded of what Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat fall onto the ground and die, it would not bring forth any fruit. They were willing to do that because they wanted people to enjoy the intimate relationship they have had with Jesus Christ. And by so doing, they brought others to Christ. See, I have no doubt that the author of the gospel has purposely sandwiched the windstorm incident into this episode of Jesus leading his disciples into a cross-cultural encounter. See, Mark could have omitted what seemed to be like a detour of they are going to the people of Gerasenes. But he didn't. He wanted his church community to understand this. That going where Jesus wants us to go will not be easy. At times we may even despair of our lives. Just like his disciples did. Like I say, you know, there were seasoned fishermen in the boat with Jesus. But the windstorm was so great that they were frightened. And they told Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? You know, as I was listening to the prayer that Jean was praying for all the different people who are involved in missions, all the people that you are supporting and thinking about, it'd be good to encourage them because they would be going through difficult times when they are discouraged, when they are wondering, you know, God, am I making a difference in the lives of the people I'm going to? But Mark also wanted his reader to understand this. You know, like a sandwich, there are different types of filling. And that was another part of the filling that Mark wanted his readers to understand this. It is only in the storm-like situations that we will continue to discover who Jesus is and be amazed at his goodness, his power, and his mercy. You see, the disciples met with the storm, but they were also amazed at the revelation of the power of Jesus over the elements of wind and waves. Apostle Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, he says, it is when I am weak and unable to do anything, that is when Jesus reveals his strength to deliver me. Of course, the sandwich would not be complete if I do not go into the fact that when we follow Jesus to go where he would want us to go, people will experience the salvation of God. People would enjoy the presence of God in their lives. Let me share with you Suham's testimony. In fact, we have some pictures of Suham on the transparency. That's the lady, Suham. It was her baptism service. And during her baptism service, this is what she says. She said, I grew up in a Kurdish family. I used to pray and fast during Ramadan. I arrived in London one day, having fled from family and personal suffering and ethnic persecution in my homeland. Suham is from Iraq. She says, I was completely alone in a strange city, afraid and obviously in need of help. I met a group of Christians at Ashwell Road that demonstrated God's love to me in very practical ways. I noticed that they did not want anything from me, yet they loved me. These Christians accommodated me temporarily at the church. I then went to an Arabic Christian conference and enjoyed the worship time and learning about Jesus. After the conference, someone prayed with me, and I accepted Jesus as my own personal Savior. He has changed my life. He has given me hope and eternal life. I used to pray, but I always felt that God was very far away. Now I feel that He's very near to me and that He loves me. Just a few weeks ago, Suham's husband called her on the phone and said to her, you know, I don't think you want to see me anymore because I'm blind and I've been tortured and I'm not the man that you know physically. Suham was, I mean, you could imagine her sadness because she had not heard from her husband for a long time. And all of her, out of the blue, she heard her husband speaking to her. And she was telling our pastor of the church plant that we were involved in, and she was telling her, you know, it's only because of Jesus and the fact that I could bring all this to Jesus that have kept me going. There are people who need the love of God in Jesus Christ. And there are people who, because others were willing to go, they come to know Jesus. Just want to tell you about OM Turning Point. You know, the group of Christians that Suha met were from OM Turning Point, and that's where I'm serving right now. That's the part of OM that I'm from. And we have people from different countries. And we want to reach out to people in Europe and Muslims, especially in London. You know, I also heard that you all are working through the book of Acts. And sometimes as I think of Jerusalem during the day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell upon them, and in Jerusalem at that time there were Jews from all different countries. If you read the list, it's almost like Jews from the known world during that time. And I think of London. And London, we have people from all over the world. In fact, Mala was telling me that 320 languages are spoken in London itself. And many of them are actually from the Arab, Middle Eastern, and North African country. And Muslims, they come as students, medical patients, businessmen, tourists, working immigrants, refugees, and second-generation Muslims who have been born in UK and in London. And we also have missionaries from the Muslim faith who would want to make London as the capital for Islam in the Western world. What we want to do is that we want to train people. We are involved in church planting, reaching out to Arabic-speaking people and the Turkish-speaking people. And we want to help people to be equipped to reach out to Muslims. And that's how we met Suham. we had a book table. We had a book table at Ashwell Road in London, and Suham saw the literature in her language. By the way, when you were coming up to the church, you would probably see a book of literature. They are on sale. If you want to know the price, it's on the first page of the book. And there are also magazines that help you understand more about OM and Operation Mercy and about the Logos. You know, you could just pick them up. Those are free. But coming back to Suham, Suham saw all this literature, Bibles that were written in her language, and she stopped there. And that's when we started speaking to her, and that's when we realized that she was really in a very difficult situation, and we helped her. And, you know, it was during the time of just the start of the Gulf War, start of the Iraqi War, that Suham decided that she wanted to be baptized. She gave her life to Christ actually last year. Coming back to the passage, it wouldn't be complete. The sandwich wouldn't be complete if I would not say this. Some of us, Jesus would call to go and cross both geographical and cultural barriers. Others, he would call to stay. In fact, most of the bulk of the people in the church, God would call to stay. And I mean, it's, you know, when I read this, I was wondering to myself, long time ago, I was saying, you know, Jesus, this was someone who wanted to follow you wherever you want to go. In fact, he's willing to go anywhere. But you tell him, you told him in verse 19 of Mark 5, it says, Jesus did not let him but say, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. This was a young man who would want to follow Jesus wherever he would want to lead him. But Jesus was very clear to him. He says, don't go. Stay where you are. Go home to your family. Go home to your friends and tell them what Jesus had done for you. Not all of us Jesus would call to go. Most of us, Jesus would call us to remain. But it's still the same. He would call us to the workplace, to the people where we are working at, to the schools that we may be involved in. Wherever we may be, Jesus is asking us to be witnesses of what he had done in our lives. See, Mark's intention in writing the whole of the gospel is to involve his readers in asking this big question: who is this man Jesus? You and I know who Jesus is. You and I have tasted of the goodness of Jesus Christ, of the peace that we can have, of the fact that we can be called sons and daughters of the Most High God through Jesus. But that's not just Mark's intention in answering that question, who Jesus is. There's another theme that runs throughout Mark, and that is discipleship. That is following Jesus. What would you do now that you know Jesus? Would you go where he would tell you to go? And this is the question he would ask us this morning. Where is Jesus asking you to go? And would you go and let others know about who this man Jesus, whom you call Lord and Savior?